Good evening, everyone is here who is intended to be here. Good evening on this very gloomy night. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Kingborough Council. It's my pleasure to welcome everybody this evening on Monday, the 2nd of September 2024. We don't have anybody in the public gallery this evening. Time being 5:30 p.m, I now officially declare this meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. Council meetings are also live streamed on YouTube, and in accordance with council's policy, I'll ask the CEO to confirm that the audio recording has started. Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay my respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reap, Deputy Mayor Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Dean, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Richardson and Councillor Street. The staff we have with us this evening are the CEO, Mr Stewart, Director of People and Finance, Mr Spinks, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, Director of Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, Director of Environment, Development and Community Services, Ms Shakuti, Manager of Development Services, Ms Tyler Moore, our planner, Ms McNeil, Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. We do have two apologies this evening, one from Councillor Cordova and another one from Councillor Bain. Takes us on page one, confirmation of minutes. The motion is that the minutes of the open session of Council meeting number 15, held on the 19th of August 2024, be confirmed as a true record. I've got a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour? Against, motion is carried. Workshops held since the last council meeting. We had a workshop last Monday evening, the 26th of August, in relation to the Tasmanian Planning Scheme. Over to declarations of interest. Does any councillor have a declaration of interest? Thank you. Transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from open into closed session or closed into open session? No, thank you. Questions without notice from the public. We don't have anybody in the public gallery with us this evening. And questions on notice from the public. If you did wish to submit a question on notice, you can do so by completing the relevant form on our website or by emailing us at kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. We did have two questions on notice. The first one from Mr Tong in relation to Summerlees Road underpass, with a response from Mr Kaimitsoglu, and the second one in relation to personal bushfire shelters from Professor Rowan, with a response from Ms Tyler Moore. Takes us to page four, questions on without notice from councillors. Does any councillor have a question they wish to ask? Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question relating to the Copping Joint Authority. What is the long-term expected life of the lifetime of the C-cell based on current input? And what percentage of the waste comes from interstate? And does the C-cell leak? And what are the financial risks of it filling up or leaking? And could Council provide a report on these items at the next meeting, please?
Mr Reeve will be able to assist us.
Mayor, yes, I did get a little bit of information from SWS, so I can probably answer some of those questions, and if there's any follow-up that's needed from them, I'm happy to actually take that on board or put it in a council report if you wish. So in answer to your question about where the actual material comes from, none of it comes from interstate, so all of it's actually sourced within the state. So it's mainly coming from some of the larger industrial producers such as Nearstar up on the west coast. Might come from individual service station lots which have got contaminated materials there that need to be treated in a particular way, or from some of the TAS networks work, but it is all within the state itself. The C-cell, I guess it exceeds what you would actually need for a particular facility like that, so it actually has two layers, not just one layer, it has a sump in between those two layers there. And the leachate that actually comes from that is actually very carefully controlled. So it does have some, I guess, some backups in terms of any failures that might actually happen in that space. The tonnages at the moment, they estimate if it continued the way it was going, it would be about 70 years of life that you'd actually have in the sea cell, so it's a fair bit. And there's obviously some rehabilitation that would actually happen after that life of the sea cell had expired. It could either come as a council report if you wanted some more information, or I'm happy to send out some additional information via an email to councillors if that actually helps. SWS has provided a bit of a brochure, and if that actually helps to provide some more information, happy to do that.
Thank you. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of questions. First one is in regards to the coastal policy submission that we put in. I understand that the Coastal Policy Validation Bill has been tabled and could be debated at any time in the Upper House from the 10th of September. As Kingborough Council made a submission to this, have we received any correspondence regarding it?
Ms. Cootie.
Through you, Mayor. No, to my knowledge, we haven't received any correspondence regarding it, apart from acknowledgement that it was received.
Thank you. I understand I've been contacted and had been advised that there might be an opportunity for councils who made a submission to brief Upper House members regarding their concerns. Given how much coastline we have and all the works we've done in the coastal zone, I think it'd be important for council to consider briefing the Upper House in regards to our submission. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts or plans about this. I'm thinking that we might not at this stage, as we haven't been advised, but also in the past we have made a briefing type thing to the Upper House, like in regards to the hunting field development, I've been advised. So I'm wondering if possible that could be looked at, and if so, if council could council laws could be advised if so.
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. Thank you. And when we become aware of that process, we will certainly be considered, and we will advise councillors of how we decide to progress with that.
Great, thank you. My next question is in just some further questions regarding Mr. Rowan's questions on the agenda. Can you advise council's involvement in the working party and what is council's role, I guess, in advocacy in this working party that's been referred to? From my understanding, there was a motion put forward to LGAT regarding the establishment of the CBOS. I guess, what is the ongoing role there?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, yes, we are part of the working group, as is answered in the question, and as also included in the question, it's really another agency that's managing it. So the advocacy is in as far as raising the concerns of residents, and they're aware of the particular matter that led to it. So we've been open and transparent with that, with them. But really, if residents or groups would like to advocate for changes within another agency, they should really direct that directly with that agency, and certainly will be part of any inclusion that they might offer for councils to be part of those discussions, or if they were to come up with guidelines or any further legislative changes, we would certainly be part of that.
Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. So in regards to us advocating, I guess, for reports as requested, that's not our role in the working party. I don't understand how perhaps we can be asking for anything more to come from the working party.
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor. No, we've partaken in that. We've relayed and discussed the issues that were raised by a resident of our community, but it's really up to the other agencies to manage those and decide what they're going to do with those.
Thank you. Can I ask who the other agencies are? Through you, Mayor.
Yep. Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, the lead agency on this is the Tasmanian Fire Service, as well as CBOS, who are looking at these legislative changes.
Thank you very much. And if there is a report from this working party, how will councillors be kept up to date in regards to the progress and the briefing on that?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, councils on a number of working groups throughout, whether that's state or federal legislation, and the reporting back on that varies, obviously. In this instance, with the interest in it, we could inform councillors of any updates of that if it's requested, but typically, unless there's a significant legislative change, it may not come to the Chamber, but we're more than happy to provide any updates since there is an interest.
Great, thank you. Another question.
Yep, Councillor Midgley.
And as consistent with the recommendations of the Royal Commissions into the 2009 bushfires in Victoria, is Council seeking to do whatever possible to ensure the working party finds a way to approve bushfire bunkers in Tasmania?
Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, as mentioned, it's not our jurisdiction to be managing the approvals of those. We just simply need to follow the legislation that's provided to us. We are part of the working group, as I've said, and we will provide feedback, the same as we do with any other state government legislative changes, that we always participate and provide feedback and partake in those working groups.
Thank you very much. A couple more questions,
sure.
Mayor, on another
yep.
topic. Just in regards to Tas water pump infrastructure, and I just guess I want to acknowledge those who have all been affected and our SES workers as well over the weekend in this extreme weather event. Hope everybody is safe. And just a personal conflict in this question, it's in my residence where I live, but I've also been contacted by local residents re this concern. So it's regarding a Tas water pump station in Howden that has pretty much failed since it was installed, and during heavy rain events, I think the truck was probably counted about 10 times over the last 4 days. After speaking to a Tas water pump worker at the pump station today, they stated this pump station is the one that's been most called out since his time at Tas water for the last 5 years. And a few months ago I had sent a letter to staff regarding a sewage leak into the adjacent bay from this pump station, another sort of facility nearby. I didn't actually hear a reply in regards to that. Tas water did put a sign out into the bay saying that there was a sewage leak and do not swim. That's since blown away. Nothing was ever communicated back in regards to it being cleared. I guess, and also just in regards to this pump station, 10 new resident block sort of things have been allowed and approved by council to be connected to this pump station site. People do let Tas water know. They get called out. As I said, I think it was there probably 10 times over the weekend. It's not an area that council has in regards to their water quality testing. And I know Councillor Fox has also advocated around this, you know, probably 15 years ago, and it's ongoing. And I guess people run out of steam to keep advocating for change. It's not up to the standard that it should be. I guess many residents are kind of unsure as to what to do, like what other advocacy can happen in this area.
Mr Stewart.
Through you, Mayor, we can follow up with Tas water. I'll maybe follow up with you after the meeting to find out more about the specifics of this pump station in Howden, and we can have a conversation with Tas water about what may be able to be done by them to improve its functionality and make sure it's not causing the community issues.
Thank you very much.
Any further questions? No, thank you. That takes us to questions on notice and councillors. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice and councillors. Open session of council now adjourns and the planning authority commences at 5:44 p.m. Takes us to page 5, DA 2023-389, development application for 4 multiple dwellings, one existing at 70 Beach Road, access over 74 Beach Road and adjoining Council Road Reserve, and stormwater works over 68 Beach Road, Kingston Beach at 68, 70 and 74 Beach Road, Kingston Beach. With a recommendation on page 29, I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. A mover in the Deputy Mayor and a seconder, Councillor Dean. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Yes, the development application is for 4 multiple dwellings and one existing at 70 Beach Road. The recommendation is for approval subject to conditions, and there were 3 representations. There are several non-complying elements of the application, but the report details how the variations can be supported. I note that one townhouse protrudes slightly out of the building envelope, but it is acceptable because there are no impacts on adjoining lots. I also note that the environmental planners were engaged in pre-lodgement meetings regarding the encroachment of trees, which has resulted in some permit conditions and some financial contributions towards offsets. There is a condition which relates to landslide mitigation measures,
traffic impacts have been considered, and also the heritage code. I feel pretty comfortable that the representations have been addressed appropriately, and I'm happy to lend my support to this application.
Thank you. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a couple of questions just about this development, and I want to acknowledge it's always a sad moment when there's high conservation trees lost, especially in this area. I know there's people who, really value these high conservation trees in this Kingston Beach precinct and all across Kingborough. The question I have is just around the legality and use of the driveway, and sort of explaining that if the neighbour hasn't given them consent to use the driveway, how does it come to us as a development? If I can just have an explanation about that, please.
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor. So the application's been made showing the access goes over that neighbouring property. The requirement under the Act is that you must notify someone if you're not the owner, but you don't actually need consent to lodge your application, so that's been satisfied. They're relying on an access across the property that they don't have a legal right to, so it's actually a civil matter. So we are able to still assess the application because it's shown that it will occur. We put conditions on the permit, particularly condition two, that requires a right of way to be established. With that, and that's for the developer and the owners to resolve that matter in a civil matter. At the end of the day, if they can't get resolution, they can't build the development. But that's not reason for us to not approve it, because on plans, it will satisfy the requirements of the planning scheme.
Councillor Midgley, anything further? Councillor Dean.
Thanks. Just to follow up on that, if we're being told that it's a civil matter and it's not within our scope and that's why we're approving it, why are we then making it a condition and therefore, I guess, making, given that the right of access or right of way already exists?
Ms. Tullamore.
I'm through you, Mayor. No, the right of way is not registered on title. It doesn't exist. They need to establish that. And there's a condition on there to make sure that it does occur. So you can't sort of just go on intent or the plans. Those conditions are there to make sure that any requirement is enforced through a planning permit.
Any further discussion? Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to compliment the staff on the way I think they've handled this, and I like the fact that the developers and the council worked together constructively before they lodged their DA. And I would assume that's good advice for most DA applications before they lodge. It's cheaper and wiser. I need some understanding about 2.5, which is the public consultation and representation. And I note what Councillor Midgley said about it's sad to see high conservation trees removed, but in this case, obviously, the majority of them are sickly. And as a local, I love the trees as much as anyone, but I love housing for our people more. So it's I appreciate the fact that you seem to work constructively here. The issue about 2.5.1, and this is, I think, maybe a bit more for my education as well as for those people that have put this representation in, because I just felt that council's response was maybe a bit brief, maybe a bit legalistic, and that is this question about owners of land not giving consent to the application, giving permission for their property to be included. Can you explain what actually that is and what happened? Because I haven't pored over the paperwork. For me, it seems odd that anyone is putting in a DA, and there's commentary in here from representors that the owner has not given consent for the application to even happen, and there seems to be response from council to say we don't need the owner to approved. So could you demystify that for the rest of us? Because it seems counterintuitive, odd and strange.
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor. So it's legislated under the Land Use Planning Approvals Act 1993, Section 52.1, which is referenced in 2.51 of the report for anyone that wants to have a look. It's a requirement under the Act, which is obviously written by the state government, that you just have to notify an owner. So, yes, in ordinary terms, it does seem weird that I could put an application to do a development on your property. But the legislation allows me to do that, so long as I've notified you that I've done it and it doesn't require any consent. If there were concerns about how that works, then that would need to be legislative change made by the state government, but I've never heard of any suggestion that that's on the cards or it's going to occur. And as the planning authority, we simply, unfortunately, have to just follow what the Act requires, and we can't go above that to ask for consent. It's a different matter if it's council land, if it's Crown land, because it's specified in the Act that you must have consent for lodgement, but for other owners, it is just notification.
Can you... Thank you, for, if I may.
Yeah, I think I know what you're going to say, because I'm still confused. It seems very odd that... I know that that's what the Act says, but it just seems really curious
that
I could put in a DA to build on Claire's block of land and she doesn't know about it or give consent. So I go through the expense of putting in a DA.
Well, in response, Mayor, you would have to notify Councillor Glad-Wright that you want to do a development on her property, so it does require that you've notified it, and the application form has a statutory declaration on it that you have done, you've ticked that box, and you have notified the owners. So if you breach that statutory declaration, then there's legal proceedings that can occur for that.
But
no consent.
Notification and consent. So hypothetically, I say to Councillor Glad-Wright, I'm just letting you know that I would like to build on your lovely block of land with magnificent views. And she says, no. And I go, well, I don't need your consent. I'm going to do it. I get a DA to do just that. Then what happens?
So in response, Mayor, you can put your application and get your approval, but that doesn't give you any right to access her land. So you still need owner's consent to do the land. So if you recall, and apologies for the applicant of this application because it's not relevant to their application, we had a previous one in Margate where we had a wall between the two properties, and so it was about works on one property and not the other. So you can notify, but because of other legislation, you can't just enter her land and you can't just build on her land.
Okay, so what is the next step then in this case if the owner... who has not consented as yet, denies that consent, but there's a live DA that's been approved?
Then the DA can't be acted upon because you can't satisfy condition two of the permit and your application will lapse because you can never act on it.
So it's a roll of the dice by the applicant?
Absolutely. Okay. And that was explained to them through the process. It's also the same applies. We can issue a planning permit, but you may never achieve a building permit. That doesn't stop us issuing the planning permit. You need to resolve your other matters. I could issue a planning permit and you might not get approval under the Urban Drainage Act 2013. That doesn't matter, but it doesn't prevent us issuing planning permits. You still have to meet all other acts.
Okay. Councillor Antoli, I understand it now. How are you going?
Oh, look, I understand it. I think it's insane. I think it sets up a combative relationship between neighbours, and with a lack of communication. The legislation, in my view, should set up a cooperative relationship between the neighbours and would require written consent to stop them from the roll of the dice issue, because if you've rolled it wrong, you're stuffed. So I don't really know how we can advocate for change to the state government on this one. I know we're not the only council. I understand you informed the applicant, though, during the process. So that's great. They didn't have to find out about it after everything was lodged. So we just hope for the best. But it's obviously a very good question from the representors and a grave concern. They're almost trying to protect the interests of the other owner. Am I allowed to know in this particular DA which of the properties is the one in question where the owner has not given written consent? I'm trying to demystify it. Can you share that?
Ms. Tylermore.
Through you, Mayor, less about which of the properties it is and which owner, because I don't think that has relevance. The property that is affected that it is relying upon is number 74. So there is an aerial photograph provided in the appendices.
Is that the one that gives access with the driveway?
Correct.
Yeah, I thought so. Which links with Councillor Dean's very good question as well. I must admit, this is one of the more confusing DAs I've seen. It looks like a great development, and it looks like Council has been in my view, commendably engaged with the developer, which is fantastic. But it's just, there's a lot of concerns and confusions from me about these, I don't know what you'd call them, anomalies in the legislation, if I can put it that way, or loopholes. So it just seems crazy. But thank you, and I appreciate the Mayor actually adding a bit of colour to that as well.
Thank you. Councillor Street, and then Councillor Dean.
Without wanting to muddy the water on this discussion, there are a few really good reasons why you shouldn't need to obtain consent and notice is all that's necessary. There are situations in which the applicant might have a right to do works on the other property, but they're not the registered proprietor of the land. So if it's an easement and the works include a driveway along the easement, they're not the registered proprietor of the land, but they've got a right to construct the driveway because they've got a right of carriageway over the land. So you shouldn't have to go and get the consent of the registered proprietor when you've got a registered right of carriageway over the land. The other one that I can think of off the top of my head is protection work, potentially, where you're working on a boundary and you've got approval to work on a boundary and there's some works that are required to protect the neighbouring property and a building surveyor signs off on those being required, but the next-door neighbour doesn't necessarily consent. So I think that's why it's set up the way it is rather than requiring consent.
Thank you. It's always valuable to have a lawyer on council. Councillor Dean.
Yeah, thanks. I still am struggling somewhat. I mean, in the plans, can I just clarify, is there any, for the drive, for the access, are there any changes or alterations, apart from the fact there will be increased traffic flow from more houses, but are there actually any changes to the to resident at 74 to their part of the driveway?
Ms McNeil.
Through you, Mayor. No, they're not proposing any works on that section at all. So at the moment, the existing dwelling at 70 doesn't actually really have legal access either, and it's been there since 1960. So the whole process will resolve that existing legal issue, and they'll undertake that anyway, regardless of this application. No works is proposed to the land at 74 at all. It's just establishing that right-of-way. And they're not proposing to do any works on that access on council land either. It's just the use of it and that intensification of the use.
Councillor Dean.
So in terms of intensification, we have a traffic impact assessment done which ticks off on it and says it's fine. So what I'm struggling with is that the applicant isn't proposing any changes at all to 74 other than they'll be impacted by what is deemed in the report to fit within the scheme. But because of this anomaly, the people at 74 now hold, because of condition 2, the decision on whether this application goes ahead. But there is no actual, apart from this being an anomaly, there's no actual grounds that we've found that the application shouldn't be approved. But because it doesn't exist, they actually now hold the ultimate decision. Is that what, am I right in that assumption?
Ms McNeil. Oh.
Through you, Mayor. We'll have to be resolved civilly one way or the other. So because there is an existing dwelling at number 70, they need to establish that right-of-way for their existing dwelling. So it will be resolved one way or the other, and I don't want to go into details of what the applicant will have to do to get there. That's a private civil matter, but they are looking at how that access was established, because there was an existing individual access to each of those properties, and when the state government extended the road out, they took those out and created this dual-purpose driveway, but neglected to put that on the titles where it encroached. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of an error at that time that should have been established. And obviously it's been used since 1970-ish, that access way. So there should be some kind of, you would think, existing use rights, but, you know, I'm not a lawyer. But it will have to be established one way or the other.
Councillor Dean.
So I still struggle with it because the applicant could have, a year or two ago before these plans are before us, sought that right. But now, because there's going to be 3 additional properties on there, it's obviously come to, it's been forced upon them. to gain that access or that legal right. But now the occupants of 74 know that there's three houses, and if they just don't want them to be there, they will just not agree to it. And therefore this application potentially doesn't proceed on that basis.
Ms McNeill.
Through you, Mayor. I'm not sure the legal process, but my understanding is that there will have to be a right-of-way for the existing dwelling. Like they'll have to, I presume they'll have to agree to that.
Anything further? Councillor Gladright, did you want to sum up? I'm going to put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Gladright, seconded by Councillor Dean. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. That takes us to Planning Authority adjourning at 6:01 p.m. and open session of Council recommencing at 6:01 p.m. Takes us to page 74, petition still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned. And at the time the agenda was compiled, there were no petitions that had been received. Still on page 74, officers' reports to council, privacy policy number 1.9 with a recommendation on page 76. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Midgley is moving. Seconder, Councillor Gladright. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Happy to move this really important policy, especially in this day and age when dealing with personal and confidential information. And data information as well. I'm happy with the updates in the policy. Feel they reflect what the processes are re-identifying and actioning data breaches, and all the other little changes that are mentioned throughout the policy as well. Noting that the changes are mentioned in the introduction there, 4.3 and 4.5. I'm just curious in regards to. I guess, all staff induction in regards to this. What does that sort of look like?
Mr Stewart.
Thank you, and through you, Mayor. So, obviously, as part of staff starting within the organisation, there's a number of areas and policies that we need to bring to their awareness. Through the adoption of this revised policy, we'll be looking to update the information that we use with new starters to make sure that we cover across all the responsibilities that our staff have within the organisation. That's a constantly evolving space, and we're looking to continuously improve how we do that to make sure that we are making sure that our staff coming into this organisation can, at the right time, understand their responsibilities within this organisation, at the same time acknowledging that starting any new job is a information overload. So we need to make sure that we're providing access to the right information for them to learn off their own bat, but we're also directing them in that to be able to understand what their responsibilities are of staff of council.
Thank you.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. Probably a burning question on a lot of people's minds are what procedures or what responsibilities do we have if there is a breach of public versus internal information? What do we go through? So if there's a breach of internal information, I'm assuming we don't have to, I don't know, but I'm assuming we don't have to be as careful in publicising it versus public information, information held by ratepayers. What's our... How do we handle it?
So Section 5.11 actually outlines the procedures that need to take place if personal information of individuals is breached. So they have to be notified. There's processes there, but I don't know whether Mr. Stewart, you'd
is
like
that
to,
in the policy
it
or
is,
in the?
Yeah, no, in the policy.
I'm reading it. It just talks about collection.
No, council must record a personal information data breach and notify affected individuals when there is unauthorised access to or unauthorised disclosure of personal information or a loss of personal information that council holds that is likely to result in serious harm to one or more individuals, and council hasn't been able to prevent the likely risk of serious harm with remedial action.
What page are you reading that from?
I'm reading that from page 89 of the electronic version.
Okay, because I thought you were talking about page 78, 5.11. Which
I'm
is
looking,
in the policy.
Yeah, this is in the policy. I'm looking at the clean copy, not the tracked change copy.
Okay.
So it is in the policy. Yeah.
Okay. And so that answers... Thank you. That answers that question. And the other question is, have we had any breaches in the past 12 months that we have had to declare?
Mr. Stewart.
I'm not aware of any breaches that we've had to declare within the last 12 months. I will defer to my colleagues as to whether anyone else is aware of any from before I started within the organisation.
Thank you.
No, and I'm not aware of any. I would have thought that I would have been notified as Mayor, and I'm not aware of any either. Any further discussion, questions? Councillor Midgley, did you want to sum up?
No.
Thank you. I'm going to put the recommendation then in relation to Privacy Policy 1.9, moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. Takes us to page 91, Kingborough Community Awards, with the recommendation on page 93. And I'm looking for a mover. I've got a mover in Councillor Midgley and a seconder in Councillor Fox. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. It is always a feeling of sadness to kind of move on from things that we've done, but also as we continuously improve and reflect and look at community needs, we do need to change things up a bit. And I guess this is what this report here tonight is looking at. That we know that the state of volunteering in Tasmania, across Australia, is changing. We have heard and read reports that you know, people don't volunteer on a regular basis like they used to do. They kind of volunteer maybe a couple of hours a year, because the cost of living means that yes, we have that altruistic want and volunteer in our community, but yet time pressure and allowances happen. We also know that many of our community organisations and sporting organisations hold events specifically for their volunteers to thank them, so there's a lot of that going on in the community as well. And I've been, since my terms on council, I've been on and off the awards committee working group sort of thing, and I have noticed that we have had a bit of a decline in actually people nominating for that, and we do go out to the community members to encourage them. People just like to humbly kind of do what they want to do versus nominating themselves. But I also just acknowledge all the amazing award winners over the years who really value and appreciate that as well. So as we look to the future, as noted in the report, we will be doing a volunteer recognition event that will be all of our community sporting groups, people who volunteer in Kingborough, will be invited to. Last year, as noted in the report, we did have a bit of a trial, a semi one of this, and I didn't attend, but I heard that it was a really fantastic event. So I look forward to this newness, but also, as I said, you know, noting that change comes with some sadness as well. My only question on this one is, had we at all asked any of the previous recipients how they thought about this moving to a new one, or had we done any kind of community consultation in looking to this?
Ms. Shikuti.
Through you, Mayor, no, we haven't consulted previous award recipients about this change.
Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I hope that they'll be, you know, understanding and knowing that things are changing. And, yeah, I look forward to attending the event for this and noting that when we had the governor visit, like a lot of our community groups attended that event, and it was just so great to connect with so many of them. It was a big social event and everyone just loved meeting and all there inspired by the work they kind of did just in council. So I can only imagine that on a larger scale with our other community and sporting groups from Bruny Island, you know, to Taruna, to Gordon, kind of all being together in the one room just celebrating like their love for Kingborough. So
thank you. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I support this. I believe it's an upgrade to the way we actually recognise volunteers. I think there's less chance of people who don't get a public recognition to feel jealous. I think it's more inclusive. I think it's more modern. And I think it reflects a change in the community. And I agree with what Councillor Midgley said. It's a lot more fun to come together as a big group rather than the families of two or three award recipients. So I fully support it. I'm actually a bit surprised to see, and pleasantly surprised, that it's not going to need any funding increase, because it seems like it's going to increase in size. But I fully endorse and support it. I'd like to thank the author of the report, and I also want to publicly shout out, as I normally do, that in my humble opinion, our Community Services Department, or Community Development Department, is one of the highest performing parts of our council. And I look forward to them increasing their impact. Hopefully this will help them as well with their workload.
Thank you very much, Councillor Ntoli. Any further discussion? Councillor Fox.
Thank you. I echo the same sentiments that have been expressed. I guess the one thing I'm pleased about is that it's not going to be in January anymore, because it was always when everybody was on holidays and it was very difficult to get the people to come along, not only the recipients but also the former recipients and their families. They're all away. So it's been a struggle for quite a while, and I think this is a much nicer way of doing things, and I congratulate the staff on this recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Councillor Midgley, did you want to sum up?
Just to echo all the sentiments shared, and thanks to staff.
Thank you. I'm going to put the recommendation now. Moved by Councillor Midgley and seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Takes us to page 94, rate remission request, Woodbridge Community Association for their Woodbridge Village Green project, with a recommendation on page 96. Looking for a mover, I've got it in Councillor Midgley and a seconder in Councillor Fox. Councillor Midgley.
Thank
you. All the heavy lifting tonight, Councillor Midgley.
I was away last meeting, so making up for it. Thank you, Mayor. So, yes, absolutely support this one, and the Woodbridge Community Association have done a really great projects and really value what they do on the Village Green, noting that they continue to do the maintenance of this land, and they've noted the other stakeholders that are involved, and it's a really great thing to be able to provide them this rate remission.
Thank you. Councillor Ntoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I think this is a no-brainer. I don't know why you wouldn't support this. I'd like to thank the good people at Woodbridge for the work that they're doing on that beautiful village green. I've enjoyed it. My family's enjoyed it. Can I assume that there are other similar sites that will require rate remissions? And if so, do they always come to council?
Rates remissions always do come to council.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Just good clarification. And I'm happy to support it.
Thank you. Any further discussions? Councillor Midgley, I'm assuming you don't want to sum up. Thank you. I'm going to put the recommendation moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Page 97, appendices, with the recommendation on the same page. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Got a mover in Councillor Gladewright, seconder in Councillor Midgley. Any questions on the appendices? No. Okay. All those in favour, they be received and noted. Against? Carried unanimously. Takes us to page 97, notices of motion. There were no notices of motion. And now we have confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. In accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority moved into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence, and purchase of a hook truck 16,500 kilogram GVM. I have no idea what that is, but it sounds exciting. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. I've got a mover in Councillor Fox, seconder in Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. So that means that in accordance with Council's meeting audio recording guidelines policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. So thank you very much to everyone who has been watching along at home, although we're aware that there are